quite an interesting variety of banjo players. You probably heard, if you've been to this festival before, you probably heard Bill Keith a good variety of times, and he always comes up with something. I've been here a lot. Sammy's been here a fair amount, but is this your first visit here in Christ? Well, he has a very unusual style to me, which is even the way he taps his foot. He doesn't tap his foot, he slides his feet back and forth. I'm watching him. He doesn't go up and down, he goes kind of like this while he plays. It's cool to watch. And then he's playing three finger like the rest of us, but he's not using picks. And he's got the no resonator, loose head, no tone ring sound, which brings us back to the early days of the banjo. So the rest of us have been three finger pickers with finger picks on since early days. And asked Bill if he would care to start us off telling a little bit about himself and his start on the banjo and anything else he wants to talk about. And especially because, like you and like myself, we started living in the Northeast. We heard records we liked, and then we tried to figure out what the heck was going on. So I think everybody here might find that interesting, and your advice about starting, whatever.
Yeah, well, I got interested in the banjo. I heard it on the radio, and I loved the sound of it. And I went down to the store and rented a banjo. I didn't know it was a tenor banjo, you know, so I was taking lessons on tenor banjo. And then I saw a kid playing a five string, and I decided that was really what I wanted to do. So I got my first five string in 1957, and my first set of finger picks too, I think, and worked through the Pete Seeger book and came up to the point where it says, you have to go get an Earl Scruggs record. So I did that, and you know, it was in the search for this new exotic music that the guys up in the Northeast had discovered, or thought we had. And still remember setting the needle down in the groove, because that's what we used to do those days. And I thought something was wrong with the banjo because it was going out of tune. My friend and I sat down one day and designed a way of building it all into the same tuning peg, and started a little company making them. And in fact, Earl Scruggs was a partner early on in the business. And I'm still making these tuners to this day. So if you're interested in that, just let me know.
The Beacon Banjo Company, located in Woodstock, New York. Tell them the website. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's beaconbanjo.com.
Hey, that's easy to remember.
And, we have tuners and tuning pegs and a few other items that I happen to use. It's not a general purpose. You won't find all the parts you'll need to build a banjo that are
When you go to the general store and you ask for some Keith pegs, they might not even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
Depends if you go to the right store. Who's got a question for Bill? Anybody?
Well, that's good.
Oh, there we go. It takes a second to uncork them. We'll start with the one in the back with a high hand raised there.
Long arms. You know, your interest in jazz mixing with some of this folk stuff. Like last year, I heard you play A Night to Meet on the banjo.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. You've done a lot of other things with that, taking the stuff of instruments that are non-banjo. And what made you drive to do that?
Well, it was always the music itself, no matter what instrument was on. I was attracted to one Bach piece I played in the workshop this morning, and that was on the harpsichord. But it was more the melody and the tune itself that was reaching to me. And the same for Night in Tunisia. You know, I'm not a jazz musician. I recorded a tune called Jordu years ago on my first Rounder album, and it it's a
just
jazz.
The title gets applause, man.
Could you play that one?
I'll try a little of it.